from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
That's right. We are your hosts for Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Alon.
And my name, of course, is Ara.
Of course.
Of course.
The beautiful, the illustrious, the talented, the white t-shirted.
You're making me blush.
Yes. So we've, you know, been in the studio just chatting and chatting and chatting for so long tonight.
It's for crazy. So long?
Yeah. Note, I have not edited the website to mention that we're on at a new time for most people. This, as you may know if you've listened for a long time, is due to the fact that our clocks don't change, but yours do. So now we're 9 p.m. West Coast, midnight East Coast,
yep.
Rather than, what was it before, 8 and 11?
Yeah. One of those.
For us, it's the same time. It's just for you guys. It's all crazy. But, you know, most of them are podcasters anyway. So time doesn't matter. Now, last week we brought up a great thing, or a great topic. This like beginner psychology as it applies to games. I actually wanted to talk about that this week,
right.
But I forgot we have a guest.
We have a guest, but there's also some loose ends. I want to wrap up with that.
Okay.
But
I definitely got at least one email about it saying how awesome we were, or how awesome that topic was, and that guy has bookmarked that article to show to anyone.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So
maybe he'll bookmark our website too.
Yeah. Oh well, no, he's on that. He's a consistent listener. I met him out of PAX a couple years ago.
So okay. Next segment, in about 15 minutes or 10 or whatever, we're going to have a guest on, and it's going to be Tyrone Rodriguez from Nicholas, who publishes Cave Story, and Cave Story just came out this week on the Wii,
yeah.
And so he's going to tell us all about it, and who knows how long he'll hang around. If you guys have questions, give us a call. Anything about Cave Story, I'm sure he'll be able to answer. Our number is 866-536-1100.
Yeah.
But don't call now. Call next segment.
Yeah, if you've got questions for that. So we actually tried to give away a bunch of copies of Cave Story when PAX rolled around last time. We were expecting it to be out a little bit earlier, and then it got delayed, but it's finally here.
Yes, so if
there's been buzz and excitement.
If you're one of the PAX winners, you've got an email from Nicholas. You have, because we know these things.
Yeah, from the company Nicholas.
Right.
From the person Tyrone.
Right. So it's on you because of the way the whole exchanging things on the Wii is orchestrated to actually respond to it and do the mutual exchange of code so that you can actually get the product you want. So
yeah.
Kind of sucks that you have to do it both ways. I know you have to put forth some effort, but hey, it's free stuff. So thank you for playing. Thank you for winning.
Yeah.
It's good times all around.
So now before we get into anything else, very quickly, I just want to mention an email that I got this morning, a press release or something. This actually may have come in yesterday. The headline reads, "Teabag Sarah Palin's opponents on addictinggames.com."
Oh, okay.
Teabag being in action. Here, I'll
yes.
read it.
Sarah Palin, that was unequivocally clear.
Yeah, so here's the quick important part of the press release. Sarah Palin declared a month ago at the National Tea Party Convention that America is ready for another revolution, and Addicting Games is making it happen. In Palin's Tea Bomber, players assume the role of Sarah Palin as she flies high above 10 major cities in a helicopter as she takes on various opponents. Each city-themed level gives players an opportunity to douse political players like Rahm Emanuel and Nancy Pelosi and have tea-bombing encounters with celebs like Snooki, Oprah, and Dave Letterman. Do you even know who Snooki is?
I have no idea what that is.
I think
that's a celebrity?
What? It's some sort of reality star. I think it's Jersey Shore.
Okay.
It's Jersey Girls. Something about Jersey.
Okay. I didn't
She's kind of hideous.
I didn't think that reality show participants actually counted as celebrities.
Well, celebs, at least, play all 10 levels until each labeled building, celebrity, civilian, and politician is appropriately bagged, and Palin's Tea Party is ready for the revolution. So there's a little taste of some of the crap that hits both my email account and the interwebs on a daily basis. And it's probably pretty funny. And I don't even know if you have to pay for it. It might just be a free thing to play. It's at addictinggames.com. So, you know, let them know what you think. I'm curious. I would love to hear what you think, because I haven't even looked at it yet.
I don't even think addicting is, like, proper grammar.
Probably not.
I think the proper word is addictive.
That's true. But that's the domain they chose. And I love that their headline advises that you can teabag Sarah Palin's opponent.
I
wish you could teabag Sarah Palin.
Yeah, well, the grammar...
Or snorkel.
The grammar Nazis will be notified shortly.
Have you heard of snorkeling before?
What, this is some kind of sex euphemism again?
Yeah, the Urban Dictionary version of snorkeling. I only discovered what this was today.
No. I mean, I can make up a few things, but...
It's surprising at how simple it is, actually. But I, you know, obviously I won't go into it on the air because we're censored.
Right.
Otherwise, I'd love to. And it involves discussion of both berries and twigs. And that could just go anywhere.
Is it straw involved anywhere? Underwater? No. Over water?
There's actually no water, believe it or not.
I'm very disappointed.
Yeah. You talk to me during the break.
Okay, so... We've got like 5-10 minutes. Let's get a few quickies out of the way. Now that we're on this the schedule here we got here. Okay, so I have an announcement. I didn't even know this was going to happen until today. Guess what game you can buy on PSN now?
There's a lot of games you can buy
guess,
on PSN.
Yeah, but guess what game you
oh,
can buy.
Oh, your game, the Red Alert.
Red Star,
Red Star,
you heathen you.
Sorry, I keep doing that.
Red Alert is
CNC
is
a, or something.
Red, yes, and it's also a very old, bad TurboGrafx game with horrible acting.
TurboGrafx?
Well, Turbo CD, technically, yeah.
Okay.
But that's not gotcha. That game, but Red Star is on PSN, so...
We knew it was coming, we talked about it.
Yeah, but now you can get it.
Yeah,
so maybe I'm going to buy it.
But it's still the PlayStation 2 version that you're playing.
Well, of course, because that's the only one that actually got finished, right? So they're all of these...
Wait, I thought the Xbox version was also done.
Well, it was done, but it was not actually published. It was...
Well, yeah, but this is how you publish things these days.
No, but it was not done on a technicality.
So if they were to release it on Xbox Live, do you think they'd release the Xbox version?
I don't know.
How could you tell? What's the big difference?
I would be able to tell because... actually, the aspect ratio is different, and
bullet pattern,
the
and
color
stuff?
Saturation is different, and bullet patterns are different because
PS2 one just of, couldn't handle as
one
much.
Of, well, one of the last minute sucky things on the project was that the PS2 couldn't handle certain bullet patterns, and so I had to modify them.
That's crazy to me that something as powerful as the PlayStation 2 couldn't handle bullet patterns.
It's because the system we were using was just horrendously inefficient. We were basically.
I was going to say, is it just not efficient code?
Yeah. I mean, you'll get this a lot in a lot of commercially developed games. There's, you'd be surprised how horrendously inefficient things are implemented in a lot of ways. And it's usually because, you know, you have to weigh everything against how much time you have to do something. So a lot of times things will purposely be done in not the nicest ways because, you know, you don't have time to do it all. Or
better get it done than to not get it done at all.
Or that, or you can just say, oh, you know, we have this technology now. This will be easier to do. It's not the best technology, but it'll work, you know. So lots of interesting compromises get made in commercial game development.
All right. Well, it's available now, you say.
Yeah, so go buy it, and I will never see any money from it, but, you know.
How much is it?
I have no idea. Maybe $10.
I'm going to guess it's $10, but that's half price compared to the PS2 version. Do you still have copies of the PS2 version?
Yes, I do. I do. And apparently you can still buy it on Amazon and such. So
that's great. Well, if you want an autographed copy, you can let us know. You can, you know, email or PayPal Ara $20 or something.
Hey, you know what? If you send me your game of Red Star, I will happily autograph it for free and send it back. Yeah. So.
But we have existing copies. You have existing copies.
Yes, but those are for my vault. You
did
see.
I ever get mine autographed?
I don't know. I don't think you
ever... I just sign that.
You're going to make me feel like that much of a douchebag to autograph your copy of the game.
Yeah, dude.
All right.
I'm going to also have you put on lipstick and kiss it.
Okay. Well, sure. I'd be happy to do that. Excellent. As long as it's purple lipstick.
Could you teabag it, too?
No.
It's a good callback.
Let's not push things here, all right?
All right.
Okay, so... Okay, we got one more thing. This isn't going to take a long time. Here's another one of those studies, right? These things are, like, just too easy to make fun of. These, like, video game studies on how they affect, like, kids or boys or, I don't know, stuff like that, right?
I'm listening.
So the headline, right, I got this from a Yahoo News article, is called Video Games May Hinder Learning for Boys, right? And the way they orchestrated this experiment was they found 64 boys – age 6 to 9, that did not own a video game system, right? And they said, hey, half of you, we're going to give you a PlayStation 2, and the other half, we're going to give you one in 4 months, okay? Actually, the study was only 4 months long. So basically, half of them got a PS2, half of them didn't, right? And guess what happened?
Wait, did the ones who were told they would get it later actually get it later?
They actually did, yeah.
This is important.
Later, but at the end of the study, right? And so they were. It was kind of like a trick study where they weren't going to tell you what they were actually studying, right? In order not to actually, bias the person that's being.
Well, I think it's bias just telling you that you're going to get one later. That might change your activity.
Well, everybody gets one, right? But half of them, that's beside the point, right? Anyway, what happened was they were like, oh, all these kids that got a PS2 that didn't have one before, guess what they did? They played it all the time and didn't do as much schoolwork. And the other group who didn't have the new video game system, guess what they did? They didn't play as many video games and they did more schoolwork. So what did they find? The people at the PS2, right, quote, spent less time engaged in educational activities after school and showed less advancement in their reading and writing skills over time. Okay, mind you, 4 months, right?
Yeah.
So this is like... This pisses me off, right? Because the headline really should have been, not studying may hinder learning for boys.
Yeah, agreed. Right?
Not video games may hinder learning for boys. Obviously, and the funny thing is even in the piece itself, in the article itself, the scientist who did the study himself said, the amount of time you have is zero sum. So if you spend your time playing video games, you can't spend your time doing other things, which is completely obvious. So this whole thing...
Well, unless your learning is contained within the video game.
Well, yes, but you're not.
I understand.
You're not
Real
learning
world.
Math when you're playing, you know, Street Fighter. Or
Rayman
whatever.
Numbers.
There's possible. I don't think anybody picked that game to play. But anyway, it's like, okay, this is obvious, guys, right? But on the other hand, you know, it's not just like this is the only important thing. I mean, there's like anything that you spend time on, right? You're going to get better at, regardless of what it is. Right. And it's not like that's just the only important thing in the world. Right. Like this reminds me of Andre Agassi. OK, if you guys know about Andre Agassi, his history, basically his life was ruled by an over aggressive father who demanded that he play just insane amounts of tennis.
He didn't even
right?
like tennis.
He of course he doesn't like tennis. His dad made him play tennis. He got so good at playing tennis that when his dad was drilling him incessantly, right? And this guy was like, he was Armenian, by the way.
I was going to say, do you know all this because of the Armenian connection?
This guy was like, okay, you know what? This Andre needs to hit a million balls by the time, you know, he's age 12, right? So Andre got so good that he could, like, accidentally whiff a ball in such a way to, like, make his dad go bring it back for him to, like, rest more, right? And he hated the game, right? So it's like, okay, it's all about how much time you spend with something. Guys, like, moderation and everything, right?
All right, folks. Tyrone coming up next. Stay with us.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
Welcome back. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
That's right. And, you know, we were just talking about education. Education that is basically avoided by playing video games. So, and I pointed out that if you made your video game playing educational, then you would actually be able to do both at once. And the way you can do that is by going to a school that values your time playing games. And one of those schools is the University of Advancing Technology. You can learn more about them at uat.edu. I can tell you many times I needed to play games while attending this university in order to discuss them.
It's a tough job, but you know someone's got to do it.
If you don't play games, you won't know what's going on. So go to that school. You can play games and call it homework. You can like write it off as an expense for school. Really, it's a good time. They also have games you can rent from the library. How many school libraries let you rent video games?
One?
None!
Oh, okay.
Except all the ones that do, including UAT. So, anyway, check it out. Now, we've got Tyrone on the line.
Tyrone! Are you with us?
Can you hear me?
Yes, he is with us.
Oh, you can hear me.
All right. How are you doing, my friend?
Good, good. I just wanted to clear something up. Alon, I think Red Alert is Command and Conquer. I think.
I said that.
Yes, and R is confusing Red Alert with Last Alert. The Japanese name was Red Alert, and in the U.S. it was called Last Alert.
You're right. The Japanese name is Red Alert.
Oh.
Yes, and the U.S. name is Last Alert.
Yes.
Which is interesting because Red Alert didn't exist when the Turbo CD games were coming out.
Yes.
I mean, the CNC version.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for that clarification. Maybe because they didn't want to like upset the Russians or something?
Old school clarification. I don't know. Maybe there was like a brand of rice called Red Alert. And
but isn't Red Alert just like a type of color for an alert? Like when it were an amber warning or red warning?
Yeah, but who knows? It could have had a Russian connotation. I'm totally grabbing straws here.
Maybe you could only like put it in the title of a video game as a subtitle.
Yeah, like Russian Attack.
Yeah. Exactly. Now, Tyrone, before we start, before I let loose Aura on you, have you ever heard of snorkeling?
Is that where you go swimming in Hawaii and you have a little thing and you're not using an actual tank? But
I was thinking of something else. I'm going to guess the answer is no. I'm just checking. Just checking.
No, I was going to ask, but I know you're on the air, so I can't even curse right now. I have to remind myself not to say anything bad.
Yeah, no, jump on Urban Dictionary, check it out. Yeah. All right.
Okay. So, all right, Tyrone, give us the details with Cave Story.
So it came out yesterday. WiiWare. It's at number 2 right now, right behind Mega Man 10.
Mega Man 10, that is some lasting power.
That's some serious lasting power. It's been up there almost a month, but it's Mega Man, so you really can't ding it because it's a really good game.
You know what? I heard a ton about Mega Man 9, and actually I haven't heard a single thing about 10 except that it was coming out.
Yeah, I don't know. It's me as a fan. I've gotten every Mega Man in the series, and it's kind of a I liked what they did with 9, but I wanted 10 to be like, if they did 9 as an NES game, I wanted 10 to be a Super Nintendo game.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying. Yeah. All right, well, I didn't mean to sidetrack. Back to Cave Story.
So why don't we start with just tell everybody what Cave Story is, and then what's new and improved with this new version that you didn't get with the original PC version?
Right, so Cave Story started when Daisuke Amaya, who is known as Pixel, he's a creator, designer, producer, sound designer, programmer. If you haven't figured it out by now, like one guy did this whole game originally for the PC. He started, and I believe it was 98 or 97, making the game, and he finished it in around, I think it was 2004. And the reason I have the dates, I don't have the dates just right, was because he started the game while he was in college. His dormmate and friend knew how to program games, and at the time, Daisuke didn't know. So his friend started teaching him how to make these games. So he started trying to make a little 2D platformer. He was a really big fan of Metroid and Super Metroid and started trying to make a 2D game. And he got pretty far into making Cave Story, and what he decided all on his own is that he wasn't qualified to make a game that big. He had done some little games before, which you can still find on the internet, and he scrapped Cave Story. And he started working on a game which is commonly known as Ikachan. Then he worked on that one and finished it. It turned out really great. If you haven't played that one, you should try that one.
Do me a favor and spell that for our listeners.
Ikachan is I-K-A-C-H-A-N. And Ika is squid in Japanese, and Chan is just a diminutive of just to sound cute. It's like calling it squiddy.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
After he finished Ikachan, he went back to Cave Story and ultimately finished Cave Story. So he started Cave Story. He was a college guy, not married, no kid. And by the time he was done with Cave Story, he was a salaryman with a baby, married, and everything. And he finished it on the PC, no intention of doing anything other than finishing it and releasing it as a free game. And somehow, due to how amazing the game is, it grew and grew and grew and managed to get a huge following. So that's the story of Cave Story, Little Boys and Girls.
What was his salaryman job? Is that the available to be revealed?
No, I'm not sure. I mean, he's a programmer, but it's nothing sexy or exciting. I mean, he does it and he enjoys it. But his main job is, I think he's a big family guy. He's big on his family, so that's kind of his number one priority.
So how did it evolve into a Wii game?
It evolved into a Wii game because I bumped into the game, started playing it, and literally I told a few people that just fell in love with the game right away. It just felt like an old game that somehow had been forgotten. Like you remember being a kid and playing like an NES game or a Super Nintendo game, PC Engine game, whatever. And they had a certain kind of magic that in some ways is kind of gone now that we've moved away from 2D or that we've all grown up. And it really had that feeling of, wow, somebody made this game and it really feels like a game that I should have played 15 years ago when I was a kid. I started playing it instantly, just kept playing it until I ultimately beat it, and kept playing it again, and just emailed him out of the blue and said, are you interested in doing anything with this game? More people should be aware of this game. More people should be playing it. And we emailed back and forth for a few months, became friends in the process, and years later, 3 or 4 years later now, we have a Cave Story out on WiiWare.
Did it release in Japan first, or at all?
It isn't out in Japan yet, which is ironic, because it started in Japan, then people in the U.S. found out about the PC version here. But for WiiWare, the U.S. gets it first, followed by Europe, and then hopefully we'll be able to do it in Japan sometime soon.
Have you already started working on a translation, or is that not
well? Since he had already made it in originally the Japanese version, it already has a Japanese script.
Okay, but so you've built that already for the Wii.
It just has to be. It'll ultimately have to be localized, right? But right now, since the Japanese one is the third target, right now what we're working on is we're working on the European one.
Gotcha.
Now, do you think that it's more popular here or in Japan?
It's really difficult to say because it started on a site called Vector, and it has it's one of the most popular games there. But I do know that there is a massive, massive following for it here. People love the game. They play it on PC. They've created their own tools to modify and make levels, similar to how people made a level editor for World of Goo. So they've taken upon themselves and really, really taken on the Cave Story. So it's hard to answer. I guess we'll find out once it comes out in Japan on WiiWare.
All right, so back to the new version. Now, what do people get? How much does it cost? What's new in the Wii version?
So they get Cave Story, costs $12, and the biggest difference, $12 or 1,200 points, whichever you prefer to think about. And the difference is the original game ran at 320 by 240, and the Wii runs at 640 by about 480, 448. And what we've done is we've worked directly with the creator. He gets a right of veto on everything, and we've redone the graphics to support 640 by 480. So whereas the PC version had, I wouldn't say rudimentary, but a very stylized look similar to an NES game, except with more colors and parallax. This one has more detail. The main character, he's got hair, he's got a scarf, just generally more detail on all the characters. And all the background, so really detailed artwork, but still maintains the look and feel of the game, still has the same exact palette. We also redid the music, but we also included the original artwork and the original music, so you can just go to the options screen and you can switch and have that original PC-looking game. We also increased the frame rate from 50 to 60. The long or the short answer why we did that, the PC version that people have played runs at 50, but that's not the real speed it was supposed to run at. It was supposed to run at 60, and there was some issue with how the character moved and some interlacing issues on PCs and different setups that he made it on 50 that he didn't encounter. So when we brought it back to the Wii, we brought it up to 60, and now the game's technically 20% faster, so it feels like a turbo version of Cave Story. We also added a few new modes, which include boss rush mode, so you can go through this museum-looking room and you go through boss, through boss, through boss, through boss. And we also made one of the secret levels in the game its own mode, so you can go in there, and it's an instance. However, we took out all the dialogue and all the exposition, so it's not really a spoiler. It's more of a teaser. Really difficult level. We also included curly mode, which was requested by the fans, where one of the characters, you're able to use her, and she swaps with the main character. And so the dialogue is which to reflect that. And then we also added easy mode, which is half damage.
Tyrone, the music's coming.
Oh.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one.
And we're back. The break cut off Tyrone. He was talking about, Cave Story.
I think the last thing we caught was easy mode. So maybe
I heard something about... I thought I heard curly mode. Is that right, Tyrone?
Right. So I'll go through the list really quick without the explanation. It's Boss Rush, Sanctuary, Time Attack, Curly Mode, and Easy Mode is also exclusive to the Wii. It's half damage, and the main character actually has a yellow suit. He looks like a little chick.
Okay.
And Hard Mode is the last mode where...
Is that because you're a chicken?
Maybe.
Playing on easy.
And Hard Mode is... I think we should have called it Impossible Mode. It's not really impossible, but it's pretty difficult. Cave Story, some listeners may or may not know it. It has a similar upgrade system to Metroid where you find life capsules and then they upgrade you 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 health as you pick them up. So on a normal game, if you go through the whole game, you'd probably end up with 40-something or 50-something health points. And on Hard Mode, you actually get no life capsules. So you go through most of the game with 3 HP. So that means... probably after the first one or two screens, anything's going to kill you.
Okay, so basically it's like Demon Souls.
Yeah, exactly.
So you haven't beaten the pseudo-impossible mode yourself?
I have beat it. Yeah, I have beat it. It was a sort of a requirement to make sure that we tested everything.
That's his job. Of course he's beat it on hard mode.
Dude, I don't know. I probably wouldn't be able to do it, even if I built it.
Okay, so anything else? That's a lot of new stuff.
That's a lot of new stuff. We have an official translation in place, translated from scratch from the Japanese one, and a few really tiny things that are mainly in there for the fans, for existing fans who are really going to notice, and new fans are may or may not notice it, but they might figure it out if they take a look at either the original PC version or if they switch back and forth between the artwork.
So a couple Easter eggs, haha.
Yeah.
All right.
Or chicken eggs.
All right, so perhaps. Let's see. Did we... I guess we covered it all. Now, all these things... Oh, one question I had, actually, was... So with the high-resolution stuff, right, and the low-resolution original game, and the new music and the old music, you can... Can you just, in real time, just switch back and forth whenever you want when you're playing the game?
We originally had that in there, and it was we ran out of buttons.
Or I shouldn't say in real time. I should say, you know.
I know what you mean.
Right? Like, can you just go to the pause screen and say, okay, I want blocky graphics now. Okay, I want high-res graphics now.
You have to not exit the game, but you have to go back to the main menu and then go to the options screen and switch. But there's so many frequent save spots that it's not really an issue. And what we found was when we showed people, when we were showing people the game before it was out, it was one of those things where it was, oh, that's kind of neat. I'll do it a couple times. But it wasn't something that people would do more frequently. And what we wanted for the classic controller in particular, we made the shoulder, the L and R buttons, I believe that's what they're called on the Wii, the L and R buttons, they switch your weapons. So one switch is left and one switch is right. So it was kind of, do we have this really cool effect where we can switch the graphics, or do we give the player more options while they're playing so that they can switch weapons on the fly really easily?
That makes sense to me.
We chose gameplay.
So, did switching to high resolution graphics change any of the collision?
No, it didn't. We didn't change the collision. We spent time making sure in testing and making sure that everything fit properly and worked properly. The thing that did change a little bit was. When we did some mini focus tests and people who had played the previous Cave Story, what we found was people didn't know or didn't necessarily immediately realize that the game was 20% faster or the intended speed, and so they were saying, wow, it's harder than I remember.
That's interesting. So the speed actually makes it harder. You know what? This reminds me of a time like back in the day when this isn't so much an issue anymore because pretty much everything is 60 frames now or 60 hertz, especially because there's HDTVs in everywhere, right?
Even though have a standard games now. Will still run crappy because
yeah.
just because.
But so back in the day, I'll give you a little history or technology lesson to our listeners. The U.S., our televisions run at usually our stuff is like 30 frames a second, but there's really 60 hertz and you're seeing like half a frame at a time. But things are running at 60 hertz, whereas...
60 fields per second before HDTV.
Sure. Anyway, then you have Europe and pretty much everywhere other than Japan and the U.S. Runs in what they call PAL mode, right? Which one of the differences of PAL mode is that it's 50 frames a second. So if you take like your Street Fighter games,
but higher resolution actually.
Yeah, it is.
which is crazy because it's like, yeah, all these games that they made. Well, you go ahead.
Yeah. So and PAL is full frame too, right? You're not getting that half frame thing, no interlace.
You know what? I don't know. I don't know if it's interlaced or not. Is PAL interlaced? Do you know, Ty?
I can't remember. I just know that it is mainly what you said. It's a higher resolution.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know everything.
I would guess that it is just because, I mean, if they couldn't pull off full progressive on NTSC, I'm sure they couldn't do it on PAL.
You know, that would make sense because otherwise PAL 60 wouldn't make any sense if PAL isn't interlaced, right?
Right. So, okay, we're going to go with PAL is interlaced.
Okay, sure. Doesn't really matter. My point is 50 hertz versus 60 hertz, so stuff's getting refreshed less frequently. And so you would take a game like Street Fighter, and then you go over to Europe, or, you know, you play a European version that you somehow get working on your electricity, and everything's just slower. And that's a transition that, for someone experiencing that, was very strange. Like, I was in England, and I played Street Fighter on a Super Famicom, and I was like, oh, that's weird. It seems really slow to me, right? And I find out later that that's the reason why.
Right. And not only was that one of the side effects, but because they traded off a higher resolution for less frames per second, right, you had to also do something weird to the resolution. Either you had to scale it up in a bizarre way, right?
Or you end up with black bars on
things. Or the screen is actually not the same size as the entire resolution you had to work with.
Yeah, switching and trying to get PAL games to run in the U.S., it's a pain in the butt, and you cut off part of the screen.
So in summary, we feel really bad for people in Europe.
Well, now they have PAL 60.
And so is that 60 hertz but the same resolution?
So it means that when we put Cave Story over in Europe and you're playing it on a PAL 60 TV, you're going to get the same speed as you would on an NTSC TV. But if you have a normal PAL TV that's at 50, then the game will indeed be slower.
Yeah.
But then it'll be like normal, right? Because it's a little faster.
Right. It'll be what some people perceive as normal. So I guess the funny thing is that ends up becoming a little Easter egg. If you have a TV that supports both and PAL 60 is too fast for you, then switch it to normal PAL and slow down the frame rate, and it'll be easier to play.
I guess that's true of any game. Any game. I got to slow this down. Slow my roll. 15% slower. Bam. All right. I think that's all the... I don't have a lot of questions about Cave Story. Tyrone is a friend of the show. We got this excellent game that just released that we've been talking about literally for months.
Yeah, so
and your winners actually a few of them have already gotten the game. We have to check tomorrow when I get back in and make sure that they added me, as you said earlier. If they don't add us, we can't send them anything.
Yeah. Add you as a Wii friend, right?
As a Wii friend, yeah. And we did send them someone did send them an email saying please add this number. If you don't add the number, you're not getting anything.
All right, well
the
that's
custodian.
Awesome. I'm very glad to hear that some successfully got the game, because I was worried this far along in the game.
David replied and said thank you, so that's great.
Sweet.
Yes, we haven't forgotten you, dear listeners.
Yeah, we took care of it. It was only like 6 months later, but we took care of it. All right, well, do you want to move on, or do you have more questions? Because I'd love to hear some of Tyrone's thoughts.
I'm out of questions. Do you still want to talk about Cave Story, Ty?
Unless you have any more questions about Cave Story or Pixel,
You would offer to our listeners, if they want to get questions directly to Pixel, we can, convey them.
Yeah, so let's try this one more time, because we kind of just blurted it out right at the last few seconds of the show. If you guys have any questions for Pixel, Tyrone is kind enough to offer to get them translated into Japanese so Pixel can read them, and he will... write an answer, and that will get translated, and we can report back to you on a future show with the answer. So if you want to send us an email, and what's our email?
You can go on the website. There's a contact form. It goes to me, or you can just send an email to either Ara or Alon at chatterboxgameshow.com.
Cool. And we'll do the thing, and then you'll hear the answer on the show magically in a future show.
It'll take some time.
And if it's not Cave Story related, they can ask him about Ika-chan, some of the other games he's working on, like Soap Run. He's also involved with Wario Do It Yourself. Nintendo asked him to make a minigame. So,
I have never heard of Wario Do It Yourself.
Never heard of Wario Do It Yourself? Well, you better get it.
How is that? I assume that's on the Wii?
It's on the DS, or technically DSi. And you can you play Wario just like the other, where it's a bunch of mini games, the 5-second games, but you can also make your own games. And if you go on YouTube, some guy in Japan made these really, it's probably not what Nintendo ever intended. He made these really bloody games where somebody will be walking across the screen and you have to time and shoot and snipe them, and you see like their head blow off or they get blasted into the building and there's blood squirting. So it's pretty hilarious what you can make. It's essentially like a little mini game maker.
Is it also built into the ability to share the games
it's
that you
made? Built into share and upload, and I believe Nintendo will decide if you can share just in case there's anything phallic or obscene that people try to upload, since it you can draw on it. But you can also download, from my understanding, you'll be able to download like celebrity or celebrity designer games. For instance, Sakurai, who's done Smash Brothers, he's going to be the first person that you'll be able to download a game. And then they've got Edmund from Super Meat Boy making a game, the Bit Trip guys making games. So there's a lot of different people who do really great products making making mini games for Wario.
I guess that explains why it's called Do It Yourself.
Yeah.
Very cool. So, Ty, if you want to hang on and stay for the last segment, you can just chat with us on random topics. Otherwise, if you need to go, that's cool too. It was great having you on.
Yeah, whatever you want. I think I'm gonna go eat my Whopper Jr. I have two left.
All right. Well, you enjoy that. Thank you so much for being on the show. We'll be back with a little bit more show before the end of the night.
And we're back for, unfortunately, the final segment of Chatterbox.
Never enough time in the day, man.
Or the night. But I've got something wonderful for you guys.
All right, well, I want to hear it immediately after I remind people to go to uat.edu, the website for the University of Advancing Technology, our wonderful sponsor. All right, so what is it that
right,
you have
so
for me? Is it God of War 3 related?
This cracks me up to no one. No! Although I have comments about that, I will refrain.
I have yet to play it, but everyone seems to be talking about it, that and Heavy Rain.
I will refrain, and they are not positive comments, and you're just going to be left wondering.
Okay.
That's it. Okay?
Sure.
So, what I am going to talk about is a site that just came live online today, although the last time I checked, they were having problems with the servers getting swamped. It's a new site called GameCrush.com.
I think I've heard of this.
And you may ask, what is GameCrush.com?
What is GameCrush.com?
And I'll tell you. You know how you'll go to, like, a strip club?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
And you can get, like, a lap dance, and it's like, you know, maybe it's not one of those like really upscale ones. Maybe it's one of those like really lame ones that's like next to the McDonald's down the street. So it's like $10 for a lap dance.
Dude, I went to a really lame strip club near the LA airport once.
That's bad. That's sounding bad already.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're always near airports, but this one was in LA. My friends, we went to E3 and they really wanted to go. And I'm not so into strip clubs because I don't like being accosted for money.
Was it Spearmint Rhino?
I don't think so.
Because that's like, you know, upper crust.
Yeah, no, this is
why do I know so much about strip clubs? What is
point,
this?
I've heard of the Spearmint Rhino. This wasn't it. So point is, though, one of my friends was like, hey, is that guy? It turns out they had really, really tiny tables. You could fit like 5 drinks on these tables and that was it.
Right.
And so when you're 2 tables away from someone, you could shake their hand. We were 2 tables away from the guy who played Pootie Tang. And like no one even noticed. But my friend was like, wait, that guy, he's Pootie Tang. And I was like, oh my God, that is Booty Tang!
All right, so that's
cool.
And
that's crazy.
But anyway, so you know if you go to like your kind of low-class strip joint and it'll be like $10 for like 2 lap dances because it's a special.
Dude, I'm so awesome. I give lap dances to the dancers.
Okay, so Game Crush is like that, except you don't get a lap dance and you're playing a video game instead.
Are you playing Palin's Teabaggers?
You cannot play Palin's Teabaggers. They have a set of approved games you can play. But basically, this kind of pisses me off because they're couching this as like, oh, it's like a social networking site for gamers to get hooked up with ladies, right? But no, the ladies on there, right, are getting paid by you. And you're paying to play with them, Right?
What?
And not only are you paying to play with them, you're paying like $8 for 6 minutes.
You're telling me there's a service where you can pay to find the people to play with rather than it being free, and
right.
your incentive is that you know it's a lady on the other end.
You know it's a lady, and they have about 1,200 ladies.
Is there chatting? Like the live
there's
video
chat
thing?
There's video, right?
By the way, have you heard of chat roulette?
Yes, I have heard of chat roulette.
Okay.
And it's wonderful and disgusting at the same time.
All right.
But this is not like chat roulette because you pay. It's ridiculous.
You also get to choose?
$8 for 6 minutes. You get to choose the girl, I guess, right? And if you play a flash game, you get 6 minutes. It's one of their games.
What's a flash game?
Yeah, like Battleship or Checkers or whatever.
But it's not that she's flashing you.
Well, you know, whatever goes on in those 6 minutes is between you and the girl.
Okay.
So anything could happen in six whole minutes while you're pretending to play a game, but not really, because you're trying to get some...
Dude, as a hot chick, you can make $80 an hour, and you don't even have to be in the same room as these people.
Now, the chicks get a 60% cut. They don't get all the money. But still, you could make quite
a bit
of money.
That's more than $40 an hour.
That is. It's quite good, but on the other hand, like, I mean, come on, like, the funny thing is, you know, this has been announced on a lot of blogs and all this stuff, and you go read the comments, and they're like, I don't want to play games with girls. I want to play games with guys. Why would I do this?
Yeah.
Right? Which is also funny, right? So this whole thing is...
If they were just naked the whole time
right.
on the chat, I could see it actually working.
For this to be worthwhile, they need to be just, first of all, just at the top, just naked immediately, right? Because this time is very valuable.
Well, there's some value to the teasing as well.
Yeah, but 6 minutes, you can't, like, you got to go like 30 seconds teasing and then okay.
Well, you can buy in bulk.
You can buy in bulk. Yeah, but you know, it's very... I don't know who's going to really go for this because it's, I mean, $8 for 6 minutes. Come on. Anyway, so there's a lot of funny things about this, right? Because now if you go there, you can, you know, I guess the site's down, but you can ostensibly browse, you know, all these, you know, these gamer girls' profiles, right? And here's the funny part, right? So it's set up kind of to look like it's a social networking site. So the girls on there have the ability to set their mood, right? You know, like on MySpace, you can set your mood. You can say, like, you know, I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm, you know, whatever. I'm feeling flirty, I'm feeling bouncy, you know, whatever, right? They've got, like, 30 choices, right?
Bouncy.
Yeah. So what are the choices on Game Crush, right? So a girl on Game Crush could be flirty, okay? She can be dirty, okay? Or
why would I want to look at a dirty girl?
Or she can be flirty and dirty simultaneously. Those are the only three states possible for the girls on Game Crush.
Those are the only three?
Yes. Now, after you've done your little play session, you know, like playing a game, you know, like tic-tac-toe or checkers or what have you, you can rate them. And their scores are publicly displayed. And so their category of ratings for the girls, which are assigned by, you know, the guys who play with them. They have an overall score. You can give them a hotness rating. You can give them a gaming skill rating and a flirtiness rating. So, I don't know. This all sounds to me like a huge joke. The thing that kind of annoys me is that they say that they've modeled the pricing structure after basically what happens in a bar where... unfortunately, most schlubs think that, you know, in order to speak with a woman, you have to buy her a drink first.
Yeah, that's not really true. We know that.
And so, well, not really true. And I don't know what bars you're going to, but I ain't buying no $8.25 drink for no girl I never seen before. And, right, at least the girls...
I do like how you regressed into those Ebonics, though, while you said that.
And the girl is right there in front of you. Right? Which, much unlike this, which, you know, she's what? She might be in Russia. She might be in Anchorage. Who knows, right? But...
Yeah, you're not turning that into a real relationship.
She ain't going home with you. That's for sure.
Yeah, although she might cross the Atlantic and marry you.
Well, yeah, that's always possible. Sure.
That's probably the limit. Well, this sounds fascinating. I don't know how I missed it from the news.
It just came on today, so you were probably...
It came on and immediately went off?
It came on, and it's funny because they had a counter on their website, right? and it was counting down, and I left it on while I was working because I was like, okay, 10 minutes left. I'm just like, yeah, I want to check this out, right? And when it got to about 6 minutes left, they must have had some problems because then it started counting up. They're like, oh, wait, we haven't gotten all our S together. What do we do? Just make the counter count up instead of down.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, and so it was on for like maybe a half hour. I'm sure they're getting immense traffic. I'm sure it's not because people are paying lots of money. They just can't wait to pay $8 for 6 minutes of playing with a girl on some webcam.
Honestly, it's probably just a server attack.
It very well might be a server attack. Yeah,
some gamers thought.
Yeah, and the other funny part is that there's so IGN did like a little article on it, which, you know, and unfortunately like half of it read like a press release, but the guy actually got like a preview and he got to play with a girl, and it was funny because the girl there was like her boyfriend was behind her, right? And he was like, this girl did not flirt with me at all. I gave her a bad flirtiness rating.
That's really great.
So, yeah. So,
I can't imagine this will take off, and I hope it does very poorly, but it will be fascinating to watch if some people maybe record it and put it on YouTube.
But I'm sure they're going to get tons of site traffic because it's nice to go there just to have a laugh.
So I mentioned Chat Roulette. My friend showed me today a clip, something that was recorded from Chat Roulette. I guess Ben Folds did a concert with like 2,000 people or something.
Yes, and the infamous Ben Folds.
Yeah, and so we did Chat Roulette like live on stage, and people would, you know, he would just sing to whatever it is they were showing in their camera.
Yeah. Now, how do you know if you do that live on stage, you're not going to get like a big penis coming out the camera?
No,
he
said there were bad words and penises, but we took out the penises.
Very nice.
Right. So, I mean, they edited out that stuff.
Ben Folds is a fan of Chat Roulette.
Apparently.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
It was just hilarious. Yeah. So, and of course, the people see that they're at this concert, and that's just, I don't know if they realized who it was.
That's fantastic. I dream one day of encountering that
Chat Roulette
instead of penises.
Yeah, because that's all you get otherwise. All right. Well, listen, I appreciate everybody paying attention to the program. We'll be back next week. And, we're going to talk about the thing that we didn't get the chance to talk to today because of all the time taken up by our guest. Thank you so much, Tyrone, for being on the show. Go get Cave Story on WiiWare. And next week, we'll talk more about the psychology of gaming and addictive games.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info in the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.